Hey guys, welcome to the Anchored Hope Podcast. I'm Pastor Mike, the lead pastor of Anchored Hope Church, and I hope that while you're listening today to our podcast, you can join us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at 211 Boone Street. We'd love to have you. We hope that this message is encouraging to you, and we hope that you can also join us at our location at 211 Boone Street. Also, check out our Facebook page and our website, www.anchoredhope.church.
Well, last week we began a new series called Becoming a Kid Again. And what I encouraged you to do, what I think God's call in our life is to grow into the child you grew out of. And this all came out of a verse found in Matthew, a story where Jesus pulled his disciples together. And this is what Jesus told his disciples in Matthew. He said, Jesus called a little child to him, put him among them, and he said, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children. Meaning, these are the prerequisites for entering into the kingdom of God. This is what you need to do. You need to turn from your sins. But he says, and, meaning it's equally as important to become like little children. And so that's what we're talking about in this series over the next couple weeks. Last week we talked about, Jesus continued on. He says, I want you to be humble like a child. I want you to have humility. I want you to come to me like a child comes to their parent and goes, I need you. I want you. I want to be with you. But this week, I want to talk to you about another childlike characteristic that the Bible talks about that's very important for us, and that is when you believe. You remember when you were a kid how easily you used to believe, right? You believed practically everything that you were ever told. It wasn't very hard for you to believe. I mean, we believed some jacked up stuff, didn't we? I mean, if we honestly think about it. I mean, let's talk about just some of the things that our parents told us that we believed from them, right? How about like the tooth fairy, right? Remember that? Your first tooth came out and your mom or your dad said, hey, honey, oh, your tooth fell out. Congratulations, so exciting. Here's what I want you to do. Go back into your room and go to sleep and stick that piece of dead shrapnel and put it underneath your pillow. And then some weirdo is going to break into the house. And while you're asleep, that weirdo that we've never met and you've never met is going to come stand over you in your bed, and they're going to reach underneath your pillow and replace that dead piece of body part that just fell out of your mouth with money. Okay, buddy? I mean, how insane is that, that we believe that? That we're like, oh, mom, dad, you're okay with that? Sure, I'm right on board, right? It's insane. Or how about Santa Claus, right? I mean, Santa Claus. That, hey, just to let you know, there's somebody watching you, and they have a list, and they're going to determine whether you're naughty or you're nice. And guess what? Once again, this guy's going to break into our home while we're asleep. He's going to break into everybody's homes, and he's going to come into the living room, and he's going to eat our junk food, and he's going to give you a gift. So, you know, have fun. Yay, Christmas, right? I mean, the things that we believe, I think the most insane one that I don't know where this came from. Some parent committee thought this up, but Elf on the Shelf, right? Are you guys aware of this one? Elf on the Shelf. You know, you get this little paper doll that's $20, and then you move them around every day, and what you tell your kids is that doll is alive, honey. And he's moving around the house when you're not looking at him. And when I was growing up, that was the premise of a horror movie named Chucky, is what I think of when I think of dolls moving when I'm not looking. But the elf is moving around and he's reporting back to Santa, you know, whether you've been good or bad. Kid you not, this is not a pastor story. This is a true story. There was a woman I met once, and we were working out together, and she kept running over to her cell phone, And I said, what in the world are you doing? She bought a burner phone. And she turns it on at Christmas, and she texts her children as the elf from her burner phone. And so when her children misbehave, instead of parenting them, like normal parents do, she runs to her burner phone and texts her kids. And what had happened was is their teenage older brother found out about it, and he stole the burner phone and texted that the elf was going to eat them tonight when they went to bed. And so she had to do some LOL, just kidding, I'm not going to eat you, but you better be good, you know. But I mean, think of that, the things that we believe, we're insane, you know, and we do that, kids do that, kids believe anything that they're told. Remember when your parents told you that they had eyes in the back of their head? And you were like, I believe them. I don't know where it is under mom's hair, but it's somewhere in there because she always knows, you know? I remember my parents, whenever I was younger, they told me, they opened up a bank account for me, and they told me that it was a bank account that couldn't be opened until I got married. And I believed them until I was 22. Never withdrew any money from it because my parents, so I was really excited when I got married. You know, I got to get that money out. But we believe these things. Why do we believe them? It's because we trust the source, right? Our kids trust us. They trust who's telling them the information that they're hearing, and they believe it because of who it comes from. My daughter, you know, she's always curious. She'll believe anything that I tell her, anything her mom tells her. But anybody else, you ever know when somebody tells your kid something weird and your kid gives you that look, you know, like, mom, dad, could you confirm that this is true information? You know? And so my daughter, she's always curious. She'll always listen, but she'll run to me and she'll say like, hey, dad, Papa told me that when he was in California that there were mermaids in the ocean. You know, is that true? And I'll say, honey, your dad, your Papa, he's a pastor. So he likes to embellish stories for deep thought and laughs, okay? So not truly. That's not true. I'm sorry. But kids do that. They trust the source. And we were all like that at one point in time. But then what happened? As we grew up, as we got older, what we learned is that some people can't be trusted, right? As children, we believe nobody would ever take advantage of me. Why would anyone want to hurt me? Why would anyone lie to me? Why would anybody twist the truth for their advantage? But as you get older and you understand what a lie is, when you understand that some stories aren't true, that some fairy tales aren't real, all of a sudden, then you start to become a skeptic, right? And you go, hey, wait a minute. Some of this isn't true. Some of this isn't real. Just like that magic show, right? Remember you were a kid and you used to watch magic and you were like, wow, that's so cool. That's so real. But then as you get older, what do? How'd they do that? Because I know that's a trick. I know that's a lie. I know that's not real. And that's what we start to do as we grow up. We become skeptical. And then we start to distrust. And then once we distrust, then we even start to think of conspiracies, right? That it's not only not real, but there's also some kind of twisted thing going on, or somebody's up to something, and somebody's trying to do something to take advantage of me, because that's what people do, because nobody can be trusted. And we start to believe conspiracy theories. And I think many times as we grow up, it hurts our ability to believe, right? I mean, one of my favorite movies that's directed and written by Steven Spielberg is the movie Hook. You guys seen this movie, Hook, right? And it's a story of Peter Pan, played by Robin Williams. And the whole premise in the story is that Peter Pan grows up. He leaves Neverland and he becomes an adult. He gets married. He has kids. He marries Wendy's granddaughter. And he has kids and he becomes this businessman and really becomes a workaholic. And then Hook wants to battle him. Hook misses the fight. And so Hook steals his children and he gets taken back to Neverland. But he's this overweight adult. And when he gets there, he can't fight. He can't play their games. He can't fly. He can't crow. And as the Lost Boys pull him around and they look at him and they wonder what in the world happened to him, one of the boys looks at him and goes, "What happened, Peter?" And another one of them replies, "He grew up. He grew up and he doesn't believe anymore. And because he doesn't believe, he can't fly, he can't fight, he can't crow. He's not one of us anymore. The child inside of him died." In the whole movie, he has to grow back into the child he grew out of. And I think for you and I, we all have experiences that jaded our ability to believe. And it hurts us in our relationships. It can hurt us in our career path. It can hurt us in our view of the world and just how we process information. But I think one of the areas I want to focus on that's particularly important for us is it can really hurt our ability to believe in God, right? Because as children, I mean, our kids in the back, they're learning about God and they're learning about Jesus and they're hearing these Bible stories. And many of them, they believe them. They believe that somebody was raised to life, you know. They believe that Jesus did die and 3 days later he was resurrected from the grave. We believe that Jesus healed people. Those kids are hearing stories right now and they're going, yeah, all right, sounds good. You know, I'm all for that. But as adults, as we begin to distrust, as we become skeptical, I think many of us, we stop and go, okay, I don't know how much of this I really believe. I mean, I've heard from the pastor, I've read it in the Bible, I've seen it on TV, I've had a friend or two tell me, you know, that God is for me, that God loves me, that God forgives me, that God has a plan and a purpose for my life, that God wants to bless me. But here's the thing, in my experience, in my story, I don't really believe that because I haven't always seen that. If God loves me, then why am I in the mess that I'm in right now? If God hears me and cares about me, why when I prayed that prayer for my friend, why when I prayed that prayer for my own life, why didn't God answer? Why didn't God come through? Where was God when I needed him in the midst of this? See, here's the thing. What you're saying right now, it sounds a whole lot about that one fairy tale my parents gave me about somebody was always watching, somebody was always checking in on me, somebody was looking at whether I was naughty or nice. See, that all sounds like a fairy tale to me. And in my experience and in my life, the only person I can trust is the person who's never let me down, and that's me. That's the only thing I've ever been able to guarantee or bank on. And I don't know how much I really believe in all of this God stuff and all this stuff that the Bible talks about. And I can empathize with that. I understand where you are. I've had those moments and those experiences myself. But what I want to talk to you about today is the dangers of not believing. And about sometimes when we become so jaded and when we grow up so much that we become this self-serving, independent adult that only believes what they can touch and feel and trust 100%, that many times it hurts our future. And so what I want to do is I want to show you a little bit of piece of history and account that both Mark and Luke write about in the Bible in each of their different gospels. It's something that's just kind of interesting to me is I really believe that a lot of times whenever something pops up in the Bible twice, you know, that it's extra important, especially when it's an account of Jesus, because that means two different authors that didn't conspire together both heard or saw these accounts and thought, this is important. God wants this to be here for future generations for them to know. And so we're going to be reading from Mark's account because it's a little bit more detailed. But just to give you a little bit of backstory, Jesus' ministry began at about the age of 30. I'm turning 31 next month in October, so this is weird to say. This makes me feel old. Jesus was a little younger than me when he started, all right? But Jesus, all of his life, what we do know is that Jesus was a carpenter. Probably about the teenage age, he would started a career path. He probably worked with his earthly father, Joseph, and he was a carpenter. And so just imagine for a second, you have this friend, you have this neighborhood guy that you've known because the communities were very tight-knit, and you've known him for 30 years, right? But you've known him as a carpenter. That's Jesus. That's the guy that makes the best kitchen tables in the neighborhood. And last time you saw him was at Home Depot, and he was getting some cedar for that crib that you ordered, okay? And so Jesus was a carpenter, which tells us a lot about Jesus. Like historically, you know, we see portraits of Jesus with like long flowing hair, like he just shampooed. It came out of an Herbal Essence commercial, you know, a big full beard, you know, he looks like Obi-Wan Kenobi. A true story, there's a like a meme or something that goes around that says, if you love Jesus, you'll share this picture of him. My grandma shared it. It was a picture of Obi-Wan Kenobi and she thought it was Jesus, and she tagged me in it. She said, Michael, you need to share that. I said, may the force be with you, grandma. But that's not what Jesus looked like. Jesus, because he was a carpenter, probably had short hair, and he probably had a very short beard or maybe even no beard, because all of those things would be caught in machines, which, learning from Darren's story, is very important. So keep your hair short and keep your fingers away from the blade, folks, okay? But we want him, he was this carpenter, right? And so imagine for a minute this hometown guy who you've maybe heard maybe say two words. All of a sudden, at the age of 30, he goes and gets baptized, and then he starts saying, I'm the Son of God. I am the way, the truth, and the light. Before you get to God, you've actually got to come through me. And I've come to give you life, and I've come to give it for the full. And guess what, guys? I'm also going to die. I'm going to die for your sins. You're welcome. You're all sinners, by the way. But it's okay. I'm going to be raised from the dead 3 days later. I mean, that would be a little off-putting, right? We'd be like, okay, look, I love you, CJ. You're great on the guitar, but you're not the savior of the universe, okay? Come on, chill out. But that's what the perspective was. And so Jesus kind of goes on tour. He gets his 12 disciples, right? So now he's living with 12 guys and they're running around camping, performing, you know, shows all around the place. And now he's coming home. This is the first time Jesus has come home and he's back in his hometown and he's brought the whole band with him. And so he returns home, and this is what Mark tells us. Mark kind of gives us an account of what we're looking at here. And it says this in Mark. It says, Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were amazed. Now, when it says amazed, they weren't like, whoa, that's amazing. They were amazed as in, who does this guy think he is? This is Jesus. This is our hometown guy. That's the carpenter who installed our floorboards. Who does he think he is, and where did all this come from, right? And so then he says, where did this man get all these things, they asked. What's this wisdom that he has been given? Have you ever heard him talk like this? I've barely heard him say two words. Now all of a sudden he's Dr. Phil, and he's dropping all this knowledge and advice. Where in the world did this come from? Did he go off to college or something? Did somebody train him? Was he just keeping this from him? Where is this? And then it continues on the next page. What are these remarkable miracles he's performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't these his sisters here with us? And it says they took offense at him. So they looked at these miracles that Jesus started to perform, and they said, how is he doing this? It says they were amazed. They said, isn't this the carpenter? See, they weren't looking and going, wow, this is so cool. How did he do this? They were looking at this and go, okay, what's the trick here? Because that's the carpenter. He's an idiot. He's just a woodworking guy. I mean, he installed cabinets. Where did he learn this stuff? Did you guys know he was taking magic lessons? I mean, I had no idea. I've barely heard him say two words, and now he's this preacher. And it says they took offense at him. Meaning there was a point in time where they came and Jesus is preaching his message that he preached everywhere. And they looked at him and said, okay, who do you think you are? You're one of us. You're Mary's son. You're the brother of James and Joseph. And now you're telling us you're this savior of the world, that you're going to die for my sins? Who do you think you are? You think you're better than me? You're telling me that I need to believe in you? Really? Honestly? And there was a lot of skepticism. It says that they took offense at him. I think a lot of us can relate to that situation. Because I think a lot of us are okay with church, okay with religion at a surface level, right? At a surface level, to a point. But when it gets real, when we got to have real conversations, when we got to talk about real things that matter, when somebody or God or somebody, you know, God speaks through somebody else to us and says, hey, let's talk about something real. Let's talk about where you're going in life. Let's talk about eternity. Let's talk about death. Let's talk about your marriage. Let's talk about your habits. Let's talk about how you spend your money. Let's talk about your sex life. Let's talk about these things. We go, hey, hold on, pump the brakes, buddy. Who do you think you are? Where did all this come from? Who do you think you are telling me how to run my life? What I need to do? I don't believe in all of this. I'm okay with all of this religion stuff as long as it's cute and fluffy. But you want to talk about real things like this? You know what? Take your Hakuna Matata message out of here because I don't need all of that. All right, I'm here for something different than that. I don't believe in all these things because my life and my story, it just doesn't match up with what you're talking about. I have never seen these type of things in my life. And many of us sometimes respond that way. And it's from past hurts, past experiences, where distrust has grown in our heart, where we say, yeah, I've heard something like this before. You know what? My mom told me she was going to always love me. My dad told me he was always going to be there. I've always been able to trust all these people in my life. But I'm just telling you, man, it doesn't exist. I've never been able to count on anybody. I've never been able to believe anything like what you're talking about. And it actually hurt Jesus, both spiritually and emotionally. The next verse in chapter 4, it says this. Jesus responds and he says, Jesus said to them, A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, among his relatives, and his own family. He says, of all places, you would think that when a prophet returned home, that he would get the honor that he deserved, that he would get the respect, that people would listen to him, because you'd go, hey, that's Jesus. We know him. We trust him. We've been around him before. This is no stranger. This is one of us. You would think of all the places that when I would return home, that I would get respect, that I would be honored, that these people would actually take me at my word. But they didn't. And he looked at them and he said, man, I'm in my hometown. I'm among my family and I'm among my friends. And even they don't believe me. Even though I've planted seeds of trust and I've never lied to them or I've never done anything, still even here they don't believe me. And you gotta imagine for the second how hard this must have been, because Mary and Joseph and Jesus, I'm sure that they didn't hide the story of his birth. You know, that it was an immaculate conception and everything that they had to go through to have Jesus, and that Jesus, that it probably was not the first time they've heard this. It's just, here's the thing. In the past, it didn't matter. When they told the story maybe once a year at Christmas or his birthday or whatever it may have been, they may have been like, oh yeah, you know, it's so glad to have Jesus here. You know, he's God's son. I had him, you know, it was an immaculate conception and we had to run from Herod and, you know, God blessed us and God looked over us. And I'm sure people went, yeah, I get it. That's a nice fairy tale. That's a nice story. And now Jesus is going, no, it's real. It was all real. It was all true. And it matters. And it should impact your life. It should impact how you believe. And the people said, no, it doesn't. No. And see, that's probably the same for a lot of us. We're good with church when it's cute, you know, when kids are singing and cantatas and when it's fun. But the moment it gets real, when the moment somebody says, no, this is true and it should impact your life, then we go, I'll pump the brakes. I was fine with it when it was cute. But I don't believe the same thing that you believe. And this is how it impacted Jesus spiritually. This is amazing. This is right here. This is why I think this is found in two different gospels. The next verse says this. It says, so Jesus, he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And Jesus, he was amazed at their lack of faith. So Jesus came back to his hometown and he was probably more pumped to preach there than anywhere else. He was probably so excited to heal people and to impact his community, to help them more than any other place, because he's like, man, I get to go home. I'm going to heal my neighbors. I'm going to lay hands on people. The blind are going to see. The lame are going to walk. I cannot wait to get back and to get around my old neighborhood and to just bless them and to perform miracles and get them on their feet. I mean, this is like returning home. This is homecoming. I'm so excited. And he returned home, and because they did not believe, Jesus's powers were almost dulled. He could not perform any miracles. He tried his best. He tried, but all he could do was lay hands on a few sick people, just a couple coughs and a couple fevers. Things that medicine could do. Things that probably would have passed. He could only perform an average miracle. Think about that. The people and their belief, it stunted his ability. He wanted to. He had every intention of performing some big firework miracles, but he couldn't because they didn't believe. And it says that it amazed Jesus. A better translation of that is it shocked him. It shocked him. It saddened him. And here's the question that I think each and every single one of us need to answer this morning. This question here that's going to be on the screen is, will you believe the unbelievable about God? Because here's what I think that this story tells us, and this is why I think that God made sure two people wrote it down for us, is that we have to understand that there may have been times in our life where we missed out on a miracle. We missed out on a huge blessing from God simply because we didn't believe it was really possible. Think for a minute about your life. Think for a minute about where you are now. Do you think that it's possible that in your past you've missed out on a miracle from God because you didn't believe? That maybe you missed out on healing in your relationship that you missed out on a blessing in your finances? That maybe God wanted to see you through something and have you come out so successful, so on top of that situation, but the reason that you didn't, the reason you went down the rabbit hole you went is because you were a skeptic, because you didn't believe, because you thought, that's not real, I don't trust that. If that's maybe you, and I think all of us could probably point to one time in our life where we didn't have faith and we didn't really believe, and that we took everything as you know, well, I got to look at the facts. I got to look at what the doctor's saying. I got to look at the test results. I got to believe what's possible and impossible. And I just don't see how this could ever get better, how my marriage could ever get healed, how I could ever get past this wound and what they did to me. I could never forgive them. I just simply don't believe that that's real. And that unbelief possibly could have kept us from experiencing a blessing. And some of you may say, it's not that I don't want to believe, Michael. I want to believe. I've just never seen it in my life. And I think the answer to that is this, going back to what I said, you have to trust the source, right? You have to trust the source that the information is coming from. And trust me, I'm not talking about me. Not at all. I owned a Bowflex once. Short story, I owned a Bowflex once. Do you know why I owned a Bowflex? Because at 12 p.m. midnight at night, I turned on the television, and guess who's on that Bowflex? Chuck Norris is on that Bowflex, okay? And Chuck Norris is like, I'm 100 years old, and I can still do this. And I'm like, Chuck Norris? Wait, Chuck Norris is using a Bowflex? When Chuck Norris does push-ups, he pushes the earth down. I'm buying a Bowflex now, right? I bought a Bowflex. And it's going in the teen rummage sale. But I bought a Bowflex because I trusted the source. Because if it's good enough for Chuck Norris, it's good enough for me, folks, okay? Here's the thing. This is kind of where I logically stand. A lot of following Jesus requires faith, okay? But for me, it really doesn't, because it's just logical. I asked you the question last week, who are you following? Everybody's following somebody with their ultimate destination. You're following, you're taking your P's and Q's and your wisdom from somebody. Who are you following, and do you trust them with your ultimate destination? I follow Jesus, and here's kind of the money that backs the bet, is if somebody came to this earth with all of history, whether you believe about the Bible or not, all of history agrees that Jesus was a real person that was on this earth. And even history, besides the Bible, accounts that he was taken and that he was crucified and that then they could not find the body. Now, what the Bible tells me is that when Jesus began his ministry, he told everybody again and again and again, I want you to know that I know the future. I'm going to be taken. I'm going to be crucified, and then 3 days later, exactly, I'm going to rise from the grave. See, here's the thing for me personally, what I believe is I don't have to rely on too much faith, because here's the thing. If you can predict the future and then defeat death in a perfect 3-day period, dude, I'll believe whatever you say. I'll trust that guy. If you can predict the future and come back to life with your own abilities and powers, I don't know any other prophet who's been able to do that, any other teacher, any other celebrity, no superhero who has ever claimed to do that. If there's anybody that I'm going to put my money on and say it's a pretty good bet that if I was going to follow anybody and that I was going to believe what they'd say, I would believe the guy that history historically says predicted his own death and then raised to life 3 days later. I'll trust that source. I would believe that person. And I think the thing that we all have to wrestle with is that what this story tells us is that disbelief will deprive you from blessings. And here's the thing, as your friend and your pastor, as somebody who prays about you and cares about you, I don't want you to miss out on any blessings. I don't want you to miss out on what God has planned for you. I want you to believe so that God can perform a miracle in your life. Things that you won't even be able to understand. Healing of relationships. Blessings in your life. plans that God has for you, plans to give you hope and a future. Jesus said that he came to give you life and give it to you for the full. All you have to do is believe, take him at his word, and follow him. Don't you want that in your life? And here's the thing that I've been faced with in my own life, is that sometimes the things that life throws at you, the facts that life throws at you, sometimes all you have to depend on is what you believe. You know, this past week, I've had a hard week. My sister, who spoke here during my sabbatical, she's 27 weeks pregnant. She got a tear in her placenta this last week, and she's been bleeding, and they're watching her very closely. Every day she's at the doctor, and her daughter that's in her womb, Brylin, we're praying for her, and we're looking at what the options are and what's going to happen, and it's a very important period. Thursday night, my father-in-law calls me, tells me he has cancer. And we talk over the phone, and I'm bawling like a baby because I got my sister over here. I got my father-in-law who's dealing with cancer here. Last night, Darren, my best friend, the man who stood beside me in my wedding, I get a call that he's having an emergency surgery, so we go, and we don't know what's going to happen. And in my head, I go, what do I do? Here's all the facts that are coming towards me. Here's all the things that the doctor are saying. And in that moment, as I'm writing this message and I'm going through all this stuff, I'm faced with an option: to be in despair or to believe. To believe that God is the God he says he is. To believe that God is watching and that God cares. That God's promises are real and that they are not fairy tales. And as I sat there and the surgeon came in, and as we were praying and waiting, and the doctor said, I don't know how, but we were able to keep the finger. I said, it's because we believed. It's because in that moment, as the doctor was trying to determine what he was supposed to do to Darren's finger, God is the one who intervened in that moment and acted in that surgeon's hands. As my father-in-law battles cancer now, I believe that God is going to do what God needs to do. As God is with my sister right now, as every day gets a little bit closer, that Brylin can come into this world and be among our family, and as Brianna and Michael, her husband, deal with this situation, I am forced to only believe. I believe that the Savior who came, who predicted his own death and raised from the grave, that if he can do that, he can defeat what's going on in my sister's life. That he can be there for my father as he fought cancer. That he can be there with Darren as he recovers. I have to believe, because the only other option is to be in despair. So what do you really want to do in your life? Do you really want to walk through this world in despair? With a lack of hope? With thinking that this is just going to end poorly? I don't want to live that way. And here's the thing, I don't want you to live that way. And I really don't want you to come to the point where you do see God and you see Jesus in your own life, and he looks at you and goes, I have so many good things waiting for you, but you didn't believe. You know, the disciples did that, and they got super lucky because they didn't believe it. And when Jesus died, they thought it was over. And they still didn't believe until they saw Jesus again. And Jesus said, stick your finger in this wound. And then they believed. They were super lucky because they got a second chance. But you and I, here's the thing. The next time we see Jesus, it will be in the afterlife. It'll be in heaven. It'll be on Judgment Day. And we won't get the same opportunity as the disciples did to have a second chance on this earth to believe. Now is your opportunity. Now is your chance to believe in miracles. To believe that God is who he says he is. To believe that God's promises are real and that they are not for everybody else or for the good people or for the churchy people, that they're for you. Even in the sin or the muck or the problems that they're in, you don't have to earn it. You don't have to deserve it. You don't have to work for it. It is here for you today, and it's free to you. That's the part of the sacrifice on the cross that it was for. The debt is paid. You don't owe anything to anybody. It's free. All you've got to do is believe. He made it so easy for you. so that you could have a life not full of despair, but a life full of hope and faith and love. But you've got to take the gift. So this morning, I want to pray for us. And then this morning, we're going to sing a song called Miracles. And this is your opportunity, this moment of worship. This is more than just a song. This is a moment for you to tell God, God, I do believe. I'm stating it, and I'm going to live by it. And when I walk out of this room, I'm going to walk by it. So don't miss this opportunity that God has for you today. Let's stand and let's sing this song. I'm going to pray for us real quick. God, I come to you this morning. God, this week, as I have struggled, as I have received bad news, as I have seen things happen in my own life, God, I have been tempted to not believe. I have been tempted to believe that the worst is going to happen. But God, I have relied on you, and I do. I believe in you. I trust in you. And God, I want that for everybody in this room. I want them to witness that miracle. I don't want any of us to stunt your ability to bless our lives. So God, this morning, would you help us to believe? Would you help us to rely on you so that we can have lives full of hope, so that we can walk with you with our head held high, not defeated, but feeling victorious, God. We love you, God. In this moment, we sing to you, we call out to you, and we believe in you today.
Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast today. We hope that you can make it to one of our Sunday morning experiences at 211 Boone Street at 10 a.m. Don't forget to check out our website, www.anchoredhope.church. You can also give online very easily and conveniently. We'd love to have your support on our mission to lead people to a growing relationship with Jesus.